self-care, maintaining boundaries is important here. Holly, what's your take on this?
Absolute necessity. but the biggest thing I try to let people know is that boundaries are not really for the person you're setting the boundaries with. It's for you to be able to adhere to them.
Yes.
It's really easy to say, you know, this is what I want, but then you let people just kind of jump the fence, or you actually leave an open door, right? You put
right.
the fence down.
Mm-hmm.
This is my boundary, but then you're expecting the other person to maintain it.
Right.
Right. And then you blame them when they cross over. And in reality, you didn't have a consequence to them crossing your boundary.
Bars. If I had a sound machine right now.
So, I mean, that's really my take on boundaries. It's for you, and it's your responsibility and your accountability to maintain those. It's
yeah.
not on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of treatment and same thing with self-care. Like,
right.
it's really up to you to identify your needs, your wants, and how to maintain those.
Yes.
You can't rely on other people because, as we talk about, the only person you have control over is yourself. And if you put that weight on somebody else, you're really going to be disappointed, and you're a lot of times going to resent them for not adhering to it. So it can cause a lot of disconnects with people when you don't understand your role in setting the boundary.
Yes, great point. Maintaining it and sticking to it, super important. Vocalizing it. We have to communicate these things to each other. Because if we just start reacting and they don't know, then we're going to cause conflict, right? And better to be proactive than reactive, especially during this time where emotions are already heightened. And speaking of boundaries, when people start making them, those around them start feeling them, right? And it's like, why am I having less access to you? Why am I not able to talk to you during this time? I always come to you during this time, and now you're not answering me. I know you told me that you needed space, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard one, because it's like, I'm trying to keep a safe space for myself. And if I have people around me that are feeling my shift, and aren't recognizing it as a thing for me and not an attack on them, that's hard. And vocalizing that is tough too, because then you have to reemphasize, no, it's not you, it's me, and then not even in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, it's not the easiest thing to do, but to even just start making a boundary is to think about, what are your triggers at this time of the holiday? Is it music? Is it a specific person? Is it a location? Make a boundary. Start with baby steps, because that's really the best way to get a foot in the door with self-care, right? It's not always going to be, all right, 100% self-care, I figured it out. No.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care is hard.
Self-care is very hard.
Maintaining it is hard. Keeping to it is hard. And I also want to touch on, to my working individuals, my full-time employed individuals, take that PTO.
Yes,
I'm
please.
Getting closer to the mic so you can really hear me. Take that PTO, please. If you don't, what's the point?
Just burning all the way out.
What is the point? Because I know all the time, I struggle to take the time to myself, especially as a therapist, where
mm-hmm.
I give my time to everybody and it's natural. Taking that time to yourself? Who is she?
Who's this? And I'm going to go off of that, you know, working in, you know, the therapeutic field and needing to set boundaries with your clients and, you know, giving them information. Like, if we are going off for the holiday, we are taking PTO, you know, how soon in advance do you let your clients know that I'm not going to be available, because they may need to come up with a cope ahead strategy for this time frame where you're not going to have access to your therapist. I know for me, I've struggled with setting boundaries during the holidays, and my caseload gets super high, you know, because I know not everybody, but a lot of people are struggling, you know, during this time of year, and they're expecting to have somebody to talk to.
Right.
But as a therapist, you have to also recognize, I only have so much of a charge. Like, as a therapist, maybe my battery is, you know, rechargeable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I may not have your usual Duracell, but
or
at the same time, solar power, but at the end of the day, we still lose a charge.
Yes.
And I need to recognize for myself that if I don't have a certain level of a charge, I can't provide mindfulness, I can't provide that empathy, I can't be there for my clients.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to be able to recognize when that's occurring and knowing I need to take time off.
Yes.
Because if I'm coming in a hot wreck, right? Like,
Good luck to you guys.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We can't do that, but we feel like we have to. We have to show up in whatever capacity we're in, right? But if my client comes in and I've got to be honest, I'll be like, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm in some sort of way.
I'm not feeling it today. I don't know about you, babe.
I don't know.
To me, not my day today.
Yeah, we're going
to
practice some mindfulness.
Let's breathe, because it's for you and it's for me at this point. We're breathing together.
A little guided meditation.
Oh my God.
But it's so hard. Like, I was doing some other supervision, and that was a topic that came up. Like, what do you do around the holidays with scheduling new clients? Because it's going to be a tough time for you as a therapist and them having to cope with you not being there.
Yes. Yes. Now it's both of us coping, both of us having to figure this out. And I don't know if you guys realize, but just the way that dentists go to dentists and doctors go to doctors, therapists go to therapists for therapy. And then who do those therapists go to for therapy? Therapists.
Mm-hmm.
It is a huge circle. And it is not easy. And when we can recognize that our therapists are struggling, yeah, it's not the easiest time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, everything you said snaps.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate Lana. She lets me know that I need to hydrate.
Because
every therapist knows that you let your client know you're kind of like a raisin. Like, when was the last time you had 8 ounces of water? But as a therapist going, yeah, I don't know when the last time we had water was.
Yeah. Checking ourselves, too, is so important.
Oh, my goodness. That's what we say. Like, therapists, we are not perfect. We know what's supposed to be going on. We have that self-awareness, but it doesn't mean that we always adhere to it.
No.
Right? Me letting my clients know, do you drink water? No, I need to drink water.
Right.
You need to set a budget. I need to set a budget.
You're right.
Wait, but you get those reminders. Yeah, like, you're talking to them. I'm like, man, I need to do better.
Daily.
I need to do better.
Yeah, no. But honestly, being able to build that bond with that client, top tier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm coming out of school. It's been about a year and a half for me now. You've been in the game longer than I have, Holly, so I know you've got so much to say on this. But building rapport with you guys, doesn't matter what you've got going on, just being able person to person, human to human connect in this way, it's unreal, right? And for those of you who are thinking about starting therapy and are scared, I know it's a therapist taking you to tell the jump, to take the jump, but take the jump, because what's the worst thing that could happen? I talk about finding a therapist as if it's speed dating, right? I mean, you know right off the bat, a few minutes in, okay, are we gonna vibe? Am I going to like you? Are you going to understand where I'm coming from? Is it what's the gender of that therapist? What is their sexuality? How old are they? I mean, there's so many things to take into consideration when trying to find somebody that you're about to bare your soul to and be the most vulnerable in front of someone that you probably ever have, if you haven't done this before. And so that's scary, you guys, and we recognize that. We understand that. We're not asking you to come in and immediately off the intake tell us everything that's on your mind. You may, and that's an emotional release that you needed. Cool, we're here for that.
Yeah.
But if it's a slow burn, it's a slow burn. And there's never any judgment in the space, because we recognize that to you, we're a stranger. And to me, you're a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bi-directional relationship all the time, right? I mean, you guys are coming for you. You're not coming to hear us talk, at least about ourselves. But you are so allowed to ask us questions too, right? Because my big thing as a therapist is comfort in the space, to build honesty in the space, to build trust in the space, to just be you in the space. Bar. That's a bar. I don't know if we're going to keep that one in there. But really, though, I mean, Holly, what do you think about it?
No, I mean, I think, you know, being open, obviously there's an important piece of just, you know, self-disclosure. Where you have to really use your judgment as a therapist, how much you're going to disclose to the client, and, you know, where it's relevant and where you recognize this could really form a healthy therapeutic bond by, you know, disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
I found, even yesterday, I was running a group and we are creating board games based on our timeline of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I'm asking these guys to do this really difficult activity. I need to do it too.
Yeah.
So I shared a lot of my past and a lot of what I've been through this game with my group. And, you know, a lot of them recognized and thanked me for being willing to share myself in that way with them. And it helped them see that I'm not perfect, that I have been through things, that I do have things that have scared me most of my life, and part of that is clowns. I will self-disclose that here, too. I hate clowns.
You hate clowns, too?
I hate them so much.
Oh, they terrify me.
It started with that movie, It. I watched that as a kid.
Pennywise took me out. It started with the circus for me. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified.
Yeah. Right? but is kind of surface level as that can seem. You know, what I talk to them about is that, you know, I grew up having night terrors, and the clown got linked in with these chronic dreams that I was having at night. So it not only had like this imagery thing in my head, I actually was also having visceral responses. So, you know, I added this into my board because it forces me to have to keep looking at it and addressing the reaction that I'm having to it. But them seeing me also go through it provided a safe space for them to do it and to engage in that. So it is important to be able to share yourself to an extent with your clients, but you really do have to use your judgment in what you're disclosing and how long you've been working with them. Like people I just meet, I'm not really self-disclosing a whole lot.
Yeah.
But if I've been with you for 3 years, right?
You're building
a relationship with this individual. So now you're not getting into the nitty-gritty stuff. But they may know, you know, your family dynamic, or they may know you have animals or what you do in your free time. So they grow like any other relationship. And kind of like Leanna was saying initially, finding a therapist is like speed dating. You don't want to just pick one and go, I really don't feel it, but I keep doing it because I feel like I need to keep going to therapy.
Right.
Don't do that. You want to find somebody that you feel safe with.
Yes.
You know, that may, we all have different therapeutic approaches. I have like a geek pop culture approach where we listen to music and we watch TV shows and we do anime and gaming. You know, but that's not everybody's cup of tea. That might make somebody uncomfortable or just out of their norm, you know. But for people I work with, they tend to hone in on that. You know, Leanna, like, kind of talk about how, like, your background has got you into your focus.
I mean, Dr. Diaz, who is our lovely supervisor and owner of the company, hello, Dr. Diaz. She always tells me how much of a philosophical therapist I am and how I love to talk, right? And I love to ask questions. And it doesn't always have to be the deep stuff that we talk about, right? I'm not asking you to come in there 1 hour a week and just deep dive every time. I mean, that's not the easiest thing to do. And like Holly, I feel like we're pretty similar in the way that we execute and deliver therapy, in the sense that I'm a straightforward therapist. I mean, I see no reason to kind of beat around the bush. Emotionally, I'm holding all the space for you, right? And with my sports background, I have a wider understanding of just what it looks like to be under such high-pressured situations and not really feel like a person and feel more like the entertainment. And that's not easy, right? And for the athletes out there that feel like it seems like they're athlete first, person second, that's not how I see it, right? Everyone's person first, athlete second. And that's an identity thing. And so I really take that into my practice as a counselor as well, because I recognize that everyone is the expert in their life, right? I can never tell you what to do. You will always be the one in the driver's seat. But as the therapist, I'm a sounding board at the end of the day, and I'm here to hear you guys tell me what you've got going on, and yeah, let's problem solve it. Let's figure out some tips and tricks to cope with it. I'll never tell you what to do. I mean, I don't think any therapist should ever just be like, this is what you've got to do, this is how you do it. Now, let's feel it out, let's test it out, let's role play in session, let's talk about it, joke about it, take a break from it, and then come back to it weeks later. I mean, that's kind of how the role is, but for my practice as a therapist on my own, I really just love creating a comfortable space. So if we're playing games, making friendship bracelets, any age is welcome to make a friendship bracelet, by the way. But let's do that, right? I mean, it doesn't always have to look like the medical therapy that people see on TV, where I'm sitting crisscross legs in a very bright medical room on a couch. Mm. Staring deep into your soul.
Actually, I do like the stereotypical Carnegie.
We should start a Carnegie of the, I don't know, OOTD, outfit of the day, but Carnegie of the day as a therapist. There's some stereotypes, we own it.
I will make my office colder just so I can have my cardigan on.
Oh my god, I mean, I've got a cardigan on the back of my chair always. You just never know when you're gonna feel a little brisk in there. I mean, it's fine, but like Holly said, not all therapists are the same. Everybody's different. And so when you go, and especially during the holidays, and it feels like you just need to word vomit this one, don't be afraid to take the time to find one that makes sense for you, right? Because at the end of the day, this is your time, this is your money going into this, and you have to feel safe, right? They're there to provide the safe space, but if you don't gel, you don't gel, and it's nothing against either of you.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that was a lot of talking right there.
So much.
We hope you guys are still here with us. Listening, but let's see. I'd say, Holly, was there anything else you wanted to touch on here?
I think the main thing that I wanted to make sure I touched on was the masking escapism.
Yes.
And again, you guys will notice the longer that you listen to this that I like using examples, I like using humor when it's appropriate in treatment, because it's so important to be able to laugh and sometimes not see things quite as serious.
Yeah.
So one of the examples I kind of wanted to give to masking was Elf on the Shelf. I think most of us are familiar with what that is. So it's kind of like going into a holiday and identifying what type of elf am I this year, right? A lot of times we go into our avoidance habits or isolation habits, you know, when we were talking about like resolutions and deciding to binge before. So it's recognizing, am I a drunk elf on the shelf? Am I a binge shopping elf on a shelf?
Oh, yes.
Am I a seasonal hookup elf on a shelf, right? We got to fill that void with a human, right? So it's recognizing going into it, am I masking? Am I trying to be this other thing,
right?
I also like pulling in music, so like Taylor Swift's Anti-Hero, right? I'm the problem, it's me, right? Are you that problem elf that went to the holiday party and got drunk? And then wanting to know why your coworkers are talking about you on Monday, right? It's consequences of the choices that we're making, right? You didn't have to go there,
right?
So it's recognizing, what am I doing? Who am I presenting as? Am I being me? Is that person you?
Mm.
You know, are you hookup Sally? Is that you? Mm. Or you want to recognize, like, I'm doing this to fill a space,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's recognizing we all get the chance to identify. Are we actually this happy individual, or are we masking it, right? And then when you go quiet and somebody is asking you what's wrong, you're now getting upset with them for checking in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
where
yes.
You in the slow mode may literally be where you are. You were just pretending to be somebody else, and they've noticed that change.
Oh, God.
So, you know, I'm using the elf just to kind of give you an imagery because I, the amount of elf versions I'm seeing kind of like Barbie.
I'm seeing as people are doing like Chucky Elf on the Shelf now, putting him on the Ring camera,
yeah.
Having him spook the kids.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
This is your seasonal elf. What are you? And does it change? Do you have different outfits?
Yes.
Right? Are you, you know, self-isolation elf where you haven't left your bed or you haven't left the couch? And you're binge watching Hallmark, eating bonbons or whatever peppermint you might find, right?
Yes, those are our peppermint patties.
Yeah.
Go hard.
Does your elf have, you know, a no button kind of pants so you know you can expand throughout the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's kind of, you have a choice. Like when I was talking about the algorithm, you have decisions that you can control and you can mask. You don't have to let time and space control you. You decide, right? If you go into it saying, I'm going to have the worst holiday ever, I always tell people, you can create your worst case scenario, but then you have to own the fact that you made the decisions and did the behaviors to get yourself there.
Confirmation bias, guys.
Ooh, say the words.
Confirmation bias. It is going to happen if that's what you're preaching. If we're preaching negativity, 9 times out of 10, almost 10 times out of 10, that is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly hit on that perfectly just now. If that's what we're putting out into the space, that's what we're going to receive, right? So energy is super important. Who do you want to embody? What character traits do you want to stick to during this time? And it is okay to change. We're not saying change is bad here, but
absolutely.
We're trying to recognize what is healthy and what's unhealthy, what's productive, what's unproductive, and what just helps our overall functioning and what doesn't,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, change is inevitable. Change is a part of life. You have some control over what that change looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you know that you don't want to stay status quo, you've got to do something different. It doesn't mean it's comfortable, but you've got to make an effort. So I always say, if you're wondering, am I avoiding or am I doing an enjoyable activity, what's your intent behind it? Are you trying to hide? Are you trying to numb?
Yeah.
Then you're avoiding. Right? If you're doing it because you enjoy doing it, and these can be the same behaviors,
mm-hmm.
Right? Music can be a way to escape and avoid, but it can also be something that feels good. So you really got to just look at your life and go, what is my intent behind what I'm doing? Is my intent to feel like crap?
Right.
And to be lonely and to disconnect? Or is my intent to form connections, which means I have to allow myself to be vulnerable? And it's hard to be vulnerable during the holidays.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're putting your emotions out there, not knowing what's going to happen. But I can say, you can go in not being vulnerable and feel like crap. Mm-hmm. Or you can be vulnerable and go, you know what? I might get hurt during this holiday season, or I might fail during this holiday season, but I made an effort.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, that was a lot. Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, it's tough. At the end of the day, utilize your support systems that you have in place, right? Go to those safe spaces where you feel most comfortable, somewhere where you feel accepted, somewhere where you don't have to mask. And if you do have to do these things, then we've talked about some self-care things that we can start implementing, right? Like maintaining those boundaries, super important. Being vocal with those people who are pushing those boundaries, right? A lot of people, and this is going to be something we touch on in a later segment or a later episode, is just what type of communication is helpful here.
Yep.
Are we passive? Are we passive aggressive? Are we just plain old aggressive? Or can we just be assertive, right? And so up to you guys to decide which route you want to take and figure out what happens after we decide that, right? Because we're making decisions every day, day in and day out. And so when it comes to the holidays, try to remember that whatever decisions you make are those that keep you in a safe space.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Those things.
Well, I think we've touched on pretty much everything we wanted to talk to you guys today about. Holly, thank you so much for starting this off with me. I think it's been, I've had a lot of fun.
Oh, it's been amazing.
Doing this with you. I think I've learned about your fear of clowns, which I didn't know about.
It's out there, maybe.
We can't take it back, guys. But, you know, I resonate with that, too. I'm afraid of clowns. But, yes, no, I mean, we're only here to keep building, and we're here for you guys. So if you guys, again, have any questions or anything you want to learn more about through the podcast, send us a message, send us an email. We have a Facebook account. We have an Instagram. Shoot us anywhere in those accounts, and we'll be sure to get to them. Again, we're super happy to be here. We wish you guys the happiest of holidays. And remember, if you need therapy, our door is always open. So don't be afraid to come knock on it. And thanks. That's Therapy After the Hour. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye.